Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to RateGain Travel Technologies Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during this conference call, please signal for an operator by pressing star followed by zero on your touch-tone telephones. Please note that this conference call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhanu Chopra. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and a very good afternoon to everyone. Thank you very much for joining the earnings call for RateGain Travel Technologies Limited for the second quarter of fiscal year 2025. It's great to connect again with all of you, and I'm excited to share some key updates from the quarter. Joining me on the call are Mr. Tanmaya Das, our CFO, and Mr. Vivek Anand, our Head for Investor Relations. We announced our second quarter and H1 results for the fiscal year 2025 earlier today, and I hope you've had a chance to go through our financial results, press release, and investor presentation that are available on the stock exchanges and on our company website. I'm happy to report that the company has delivered another notable quarter marked by balanced growth, record margins, and healthy performance across key operating metrics, underlining the strength of our business model. A balanced and disciplined approach has been key to delivering a strong operational performance, leading to another record operating margin of 21.7%, demonstrating the resilience and efficiency of our SaaS-based model. Our commitment to sustainable growth remains a core focus. Our AI-powered SaaS solutions continue to empower leading hospitality and travel brands, providing actionable insights that drive profitability and optimize decision-making. We continue to make inroads into key accounts, forging partnerships, and enhancing footprint in emerging markets. Looking ahead, we are dedicated to advancing customer excellence through strategic investments in product innovation and forming partnerships that yield long-term value. With a robust pipeline and clear vision, we are well-positioned to capture new opportunities and strengthen RateGain's role as a leading technology partner with our tailored data-driven solutions powered by AI. With that, I would like to capture some of the key operating and financial metrics from the past quarter. Our annual recurring revenue, ARR, now stands at a new high of 1,109 crores, growing at over 18%. We continue to see steady traction across all our three segments, with a strong pipeline as we look to drive value for our customers. Revenues for Q2 grew by 18.1% compared to the same period last year, with well-balanced growth across all three verticals. Our new contract wins came in at 127.6 crores as we deepen our presence across some of our long-standing relationships, continue to add new customers who seek to drive better outcomes, and maximize revenue with our AI-driven solution. We continue to see improvement across the key operating and financial metrics. Our LTV to CAC stands at an industry-leading number of 15.1x, with a steady revenue per employee capturing healthy employee productivity and the ability to scale up in a sustainable manner. At RateGain, we are approaching GenAI as a cultural change instead of looking at it as a product or tech innovation. Throughout the organization, across functional, internal, customer-facing, as well as our customers, we're working to create an AI-first mindset to ensure that our product, sales, marketing, and people teams think of AI as an alternative to existing problems. Some highlights of the innovation that our product teams are incorporating on the customer side: we are now using GenAI summaries on our DaaS products to help summarize key highlights and actionable insights for our customers. We have launched now Rate Behavior Intelligence, which uses AI to determine patterns of competitive pricing behavior on price changes. RevAI, our RMS tool for car rental companies, it continuously improved the RevAI algorithm for better demand forecasting and thus improved pricing recommendations. As part of our RevMax platform, we have recently launched the voice module where we're building an assistive channel and have AI agents for taking reservations and handling customer queries on behalf of hotels. In our paid digital marketing, we are using end-to-end AI-enabled platforms to drive better ROS on behalf of our customers. Internally, we are using AI in the following ways. There is an extensive use of Copilot leading to higher developer productivity. This developer productivity will help us focus on creating better products and faster deployment. We are using AI in our marketing and sales function for increasing reach, better targeting and capturing intent, as well as improving conversion. Finally, we're using AI in HR in helping us find the right talent, determining employee sentiment, and taking proactive action. We're also proud to be working with Google and AWS and workshops, as well as we partner for GenAI Hackathon in building solutions for the travel industry. On the state of the industry, global travel industry continues to hold steady in the face of evolving situations in some pockets. Skift Travel Index stood at 107 in September, showing steady growth in APAC geography, with all countries growing year-on-year basis, and Europe demand continued to hold steady as well. The summer of 2024 was unique for the industry, with both political and global events impacting travel demand. Few trends that have emerged in 2024 are Asia-Pacific continues to show growth year-on-year, with some Middle East destinations still growing in spite of the ongoing uncertainty, providing an opportunity to grow in new markets. Leisure travel is seeing resilience as travelers seek memorable experiences. Luxury travel continues to show growth across markets, providing a significant opportunity to capture their marketing spend. Business travel is slowly climbing back to pre-pandemic levels with a stronger focus on cost control, presenting an opportunity to grow the need for competitive intelligence. Large hotel chains are looking to expand into newer markets and reach new audiences, giving an opportunity for new travel aggregators to streamline B2B distribution. I'm also extremely proud to mention that RateGain was featured as a case study by the New York University School of Professional Studies, Jonathan N. Fish Center of Hospitality. It's a great honor for NYUSPF to have captured the growth of RateGain into a global technology player in the rapidly evolving travel industry. Building a global brand requires synergy across different stakeholders, along with identifying the right opportunities. We're trying to bring the industry together to address the problems we face today and the challenges we can expect tomorrow, and we are just getting started. With that, I will now briefly touch upon the performance across each of our business units. The DaaS business contributed to 32% of the total revenue for H1 FY25. This vertical grew at a healthy pace with continued traction across key enterprise accounts, in addition of new logos across airlines, OTAs, car rentals, and cruise. As you might have seen from recent press releases, we've added some great logos in our air segment, including Thai Airways, and some fast-growing airlines, including TAG, Angola, Fly ISN, and Flight Center Travel Group. We continue to make inroads within the space, and air vertical continues to be a key growth driver within our DaaS vertical. We also continue to deepen relationships with key customers across hospitality and OTA. With our newly launched Navigator platform, we're seeing traction and have had some win-backs here and have a healthy pipeline. Given our ability to deliver large volumes of data, we continue to see incremental volume demand coming from our existing enterprise customers, driven by evolving customer behaviors, steady travel demand, and product innovation. Our distribution segment accounted for 20.6% of our total revenue. We were recognized as a strategic partner by Agoda and as a preferred partner by Trip.com, which is a validation of the high-quality connectivity solutions we enable for our hotel partners. This enables our hotel partners to grow further with a reliable partner and drive efficiencies on how they distribute their inventory. These recognitions are a validation of the strength and reliability of the platform and the value we are driving for our customers and partners. We are also integrated with TCA now, a leading PMS in Latin America, that will enable us to further enhance our footprint in the Latin region. We've had some key new deal wins in this segment, along with expansion with some of our existing partnerships. We're confident of healthy growth within our distribution segment going forward. We continue to make inroads with our RevMax platform across mid-sized chains in the APAC and Middle East, and are focused on scaling up in the coming quarters. We continue to add features and enable further integrations to help create best-in-class products. Our MarTech business contributed to 47.7% of our total revenues for H1 FY25, backed by healthy growth in the paid digital marketing segment and steady traction in our social media engagement segment with some leading hospitality brands in the North American geography. With a continuous focus from hotels on driving direct ROI, a PDM offering that we refer to as Demand Booster continues to see increased traction with hotel chains across Europe and APAC regions. Given the integrated offering we have on this with our RevMax platform, we're excited about the prospects of a holistic offering where we will help drive more direct bookings for hotel partners. Our PDM offering under Adara continues to deliver strong performance on the back of brands looking to drive better outcomes from their digital marketing campaign. In fact, we had our best sales quarter in Q2, signing 89 new logos in the quarter, and expect this trend to continue into Q3. The value we are driving for these brands bases the strength of the travel intent data and short product proposition is really allowing us to drive growth within the BMO segment and close deals with enterprise customers across retail, financial services, entertainment parks, airports, airlines, and hotels, making RateGain Adara the partner of choice. With added measurement capabilities and partnerships that we have established, we continue to strengthen our product proposition. With that, I also have some key updates and milestones on the people front. We continue to see improved attrition rates, now at a new low of 10.3%, which reflects our strong commitment to retaining and nurturing top talent. At RateGain, we proudly report a workforce composition of 72% male and 28% female. While this progress is notable, we recognize the importance of further enhancing gender balance across our organization. Our commitment to diversity stems from a belief that diverse perspectives drive innovation and better decision-making, enriching our company culture, and we strive to create a more balanced and inclusive workplace. This quarter, we celebrated the graduation of participants from RG Gold Program, a flagship RateGain Global Organizational Leadership Development Program in collaboration with MMMI and MS. This reflects our commitment to building a strong talent pipeline and nurturing leadership from within, ensuring we have the depth and diversity of talent to propel us forward. With that, I'd like to now ask our CFO, Mr. Tanmay Das, to take you through the performance of Q2 and H1 of the fiscal year.
Thank you, Bhanu, and a very warm welcome to everyone on this call. I'm delighted to report that the company has delivered another quarter with healthy operating performance marked by healthy broad-based revenue growth coupled with strong margin expansion of 190 basis points, demonstrating operational excellence and in line with the guidance given at the start of the year. This has helped us deliver a 19-quarter high EBITDA margin of 21.7%. We maintain a focus on profitable growth while investing strategically to drive sustainable value for our customers and stakeholders. This balanced approach enables us to deliver strong results and build a solid foundation for long-term success. Some of the key financial and operating highlights from the quarter gone by, the company reported a record revenue of 277.3 crore with year-over-year growth of 18.1%. This was on the back of healthy growth across all three segments. Given the evolving landscape and change in customer behavior, the data volumes from our enterprise clients continue to rise, and as we continue to add new logos on the air side, our DaaS segment grew at 20.2%. Our PDM offering continues to find flavor with travel and hospitality brands who are seeking to drive better returns from digital dollars they are spending, adding a growth of 18.3% in our MarTech segment. And with a steady rise in volumes, growth picked up in our distribution segment to 14.6% for the Q2. EBITDA grew ahead of revenue at 30% to 60.2 crore for Q2 FY25, with the margins improving to new high of 21.7%, up from 19.8% last year. This is on the back of operating leverage kicking in and a balanced approach. Our PAT grew by 73.8% to 52.2 crore compared to 30 crore in the previous year. For the first half of the year, the company reported a revenue of 537.3 crore with year-over-year growth of 19.6%. This was on the back of strong growth from all three verticals, with DaaS growing at 19%, distribution at 10%, and MarTech at 25% for the first half. EBITDA grew by 31% to 110 crore for H1, with margins coming at 20.5%, up by 180 basis points from the same time last year. The H1 EBITDA expansion is aided by healthy growth in our high-margin business DaaS vertical and with continued traction in PDM MarTech offerings. Our PAT grew by 77.6% in H1 compared to the same time last year, coming at 97.6 crore from 55 crore. The company continues to have strong customer relationships with low churn and a focus to expand existing relationships to build sustainable and reliable revenue streams. Our gross revenue retention improved to 91% and our net revenue retention stood at 105%. Our customer base currently stands at 3,225 customers. We continue to have a strong balance sheet with our net worth currently at 1,557 crore and our cash and cash equivalent balance as at quarter end stood at 1,131 crore. With that, I would like to close my remarks and we are happy to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star followed by one on their touchtone telephones. If you wish to remove yourself from the queue, you may enter star followed by two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Karan Uppal from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a broad-based growth as well as strong margins. So the question is to Bhanu. So Bhanu, travel market is largely looking normalized now after 2.5 to 3 years of very strong growth. But RateGain's growth continues to be in strong double digits, almost 20% growth in H1. So is this reflective of the increased market share given the small size of ours? And also, is it also reflective of the good cross-sell and upsell which we are doing across the portfolio? So how do you characterize the growth and what's the sustainability of this growth?
Yeah, so thank you. So as you rightly noted, we've had some very, very robust growth and also frankly on a much larger base from the time we listed, almost three times the size. We've got 300 crores now. We're, run rating at our ARR is at 1100 crores. So I think I would give credit to the entire RateGain team. We've been just focused heads down on execution. I also believe that the strategy to, you know, build out additional capabilities to realize that vision of having one integrated tech stack is also paying dividends. Now that we have, you know, multiple product sets and capabilities. And I believe each of these product areas have huge headroom for growth. And we continue to invest in, you know, adding adjacent features or capabilities that help us position, you know, as a far superior partner to our customers, because, you know, we are being viewed as a one-stop shop instead of having to deal with multiple vendors. And the fact that all our solutions talk to each other and are seamlessly integrated, there is a huge value we can drive in terms of actionable insight in driving more revenue for our customers.
Okay, great. Secondly, the guidance was missing in the prepared remarks. So shall we assume the last guidance is intact on both growth and margins?
Yeah, so let me take a minute to talk about the future guidance. So, you know, as you also noted, there are several things that are happening, and I'd like to address each one of them. So, you know, as you know, US is one of our biggest markets, and we saw, because of the elections, you know, our contract wins haven't been, you know, satisfactory. So we expected, you know, some large wins to come in, but I think because of the delayed decision making, we believe that some of this, now that Trump is back in power, some of these decisions should get taken, and we should be able to realize some of the larger deals that have been awaiting signatures. The second thing that has happened is, which was sort of unexpected, that we lost a very large client on our MarTech side. It was equivalent to almost 4% of our revenue. I alluded to this in the last quarterly call also. And we were able to sort of put a size on the amount of loss. So obviously, you know, 4% loss is a big loss, and that impacts our ability to continue to grow at like 20%. So all efforts are to, you know, fill back this loss, because it was kind of unexpected. And the loss was really this German company. It was a mid-sized chain, got acquired by a very large US chain. So we didn't lose the business to a competitor, but this larger chain, it was on our MarTech side, and they were using one of our MarTech solutions, and the US chain already has this capability in-house. And the third sort of, I would say, trend that we are seeing is on our couple of our larger DaaS contracts, we are seeing some pricing pressure. So, it's yet to be known on what will happen to those contracts in terms of the pricing concessions we might need to give. So definitely there are, you know, both macro level challenges, as you noted, that the travel has kind of normalized, especially in NORAM and Europe. Also in APAC, we continue to see growth. And also some micro challenges that I mentioned about, you know, losing a larger client. But on the flip side, I should also share with you all the positive news where, you know, we, as I mentioned in my commentary, we've had a great quarter on the Adara side. It was the best sales quarter ever. And just last week, we won a very large contract with one of the larger chains. It was almost close to $2.5 million. So that gives me a lot of encouragement and optimism that, there is an opportunity to again surpass all previous records on the Adara side on sales in Q3. And similarly, we're seeing some very, very good traction on our RevMax platform that we are now calling Uno, where we have won some large deals, including one with PIF. And I feel very confident that, given this unexpected loss that we had, that we are able to recover. But net-net, just on the conservative side, we'd be guiding now for like a 15% growth.
Okay. 15% growth for the full year. Okay.
Yes, sir.
And just lastly on Adara, so if you can share what's the analyzed run rate and the margin profile currently.
I'll defer that to Tanmay.
Yeah, so annualized run rate will be close to around $48 to $49 million. We expect to close, and the margin profile is around 18%.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot, and I'll fall back into the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anmol Garg from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, if I look at our total number of customers, then you indicated that we have added 89 new customers in this quarter. However, despite that, the total number of customers have reduced by around 74-75 during the quarter. Is this intentional in terms of cutting down the non-profitable tail accounts, or is this something that we have seen as a headwind during the quarter?
So let me clarify the commentary that I talked about adding 89 logos that were only specific to Adara. Now, to your overall question of some reduction in overall customers, in case of, as I mentioned, in some cases, when we account for large hotel accounts, we sometimes, depending on how we do the invoicing, we count the number of customers basis the number of invoices, even if it's part of the same chain. So there was because of that loss of big account that we had, we see some reduction. And on our brand monitoring and brand engagement, also we saw some non-profitable accounts that we have cut down as well.
Understood. And secondly, we have seen strong traction coming back in our distribution business this quarter. If you can indicate what has this led by, and will this traction continue going ahead as well?
Yeah. So our distribution business comprises of the large hotel chains that we do connectivity for demand partners. And we also count Uno, our RevMax platform, which is the integrated tech stack, also as part of our distribution business. And something that I've been saying all along is the big growth driver for us is going to be Uno. And we saw some very, very good traction in the past sort of couple of quarters, where now we have released the product and we've had some large wins. So I do see distribution to be a very, very big growth driver for us in the next couple of years. We haven't reached that tipping point on Uno, but I do believe that the market potential is quite significant. And compared to our competitors, our AI-first mentality and how we are rolling out this product, how I talked about in my commentary about our voice module, which is truly AI-based module which can handle reservations and customer queries on behalf of hotels, which a lot of these mid-market and smaller hotels don't have, would put us in a very, very unique position. So, there is a very healthy and robust pipeline that we have on Uno, and we are very confident about the go-to-market strategy that we are using, where we are using what's popular in SaaS called land and expand, where we land with one module and then sell the entire tech stack to the customer. And it's working quite well. So yeah, so to answer your question, I do see continued traction. And hopefully in the next sort of 2-3 quarters down the line, also expecting, larger numbers to flow in on account of Uno.
Understood. And just one last one, is that, as you indicated that we have lost a larger customer, can you also indicate the profitability of this particular customer, and how should we look at our EBITDA margins going forward? Will this have a larger impact in Q3?
On the EBITDA margin, from a customer perspective, I will not be able to disclose that. But I can tell you that, the numbers in Q2 account for almost 70% of this loss of this customer. And as you have seen in our margin profile, it didn't impact our margin. In fact, our margins are continuously going up, and we were at 21.7%. So I'm pretty confident that our guidance on margin stays intact. And that's the beauty of the SaaS model. As you increase revenue, most of that revenue falls to the bottom line, and you have the power of operating leverage.
Understood. Just one last thing, because of the reduction of the customer, would there be any decline in revenue in the third quarter, or we'll have growth quarters for third and fourth quarter?
That is correct. We continue to expect growth in Q3 and Q4.
I
think my point about, as I mentioned earlier, it impacts our growth. So as we were guiding, 20% growth, and we lost a customer that makes about 4% of our revenue today. That's why I'm indicating a lower growth for the full year, which is more around 15% now.
Understood. Thank you, Varun. That's it for me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Miten Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you for giving me the opportunity, and congratulations on posting a good set of numbers. So my question would be a little bit non-technical, not related to the performance first. The challenge that to post is that, if you see, our IPO came out with a face value of ₹1, face value of 1. So, I mean, just a question, if in case, future the share price increases and all those things, to a very high level, it's a 4-digit figure, and, you'll be optimistic. Why is it placed at the face value 1, and I mean, compared to, industry standard of 10? Any specific reason for that?
So, at the time of the IPO, we had announced, we'd done the bonus shares right before the IPO, and as a result of which, it came down to 1. And your point about it going to 4 digits, and it absolutely will, or higher 4 digits, and how do we tackle that?
Correct.
Well, look, I'm sure we are a company. Do I have a solution on that question today? No, but do I feel confident that we'll find a solution that would be favorable to all stakeholders? I'm very confident. So, yeah, I may not be answering your question now, but at the appropriate time, I'm confident that we'll be able to find the right solution.
Sure. And just one more question. Is it possible to give a breakdown of the margin of customers, like, you know, who fits into the 1 million category and how many customers just, you know, are into 1 million category or 500,000 or 100,000 category? Is it possible to give a breakup like that in the subsequent presentations?
No, we need not be very comfortable sharing that information because, you know, as a public company, our competitors also have access to that data then. So, unfortunately, we'll not be able to give you that breakup. But,
sure.
Yeah, but maybe we can, on a one-on-one, give you some color on it.
Sure, sure. I mean, that answers my query. I really appreciate and thanks a lot for answering.
Thank you.
Congratulations again.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prolin Nandu from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Banu. A few questions from my side. Now, you mentioned that, you know, since IPO, you have grown to 3x the size. If I look at the trend, right, even before IPO, what happens is that, you have an organic growth of, let's say, 15-20%. When you acquire an asset, the growth inches up because of that acquisition one time. And then again, there is a lag effect of that acquisition for a couple of more years. And again, the growth inches back to 15-20%. Now, given our size, right, in terms of how small we are in overall travel tech market, and also versus our peers, when you look at the organic part of your business, let's say over the last 5-year period, are you satisfied with the kind of growth that you have seen and some of the operating metrics that you report on a consolidated basis? It could be NRR, it could be CAC, cost of acquisition and LTV, etc. How would they look if we only were to evaluate the standalone business?
Yeah, so it's a great question. So there are a couple of questions there and I'll answer one by one. So your first question about our organic growth, am I satisfied with it? The answer is absolutely not. I feel that there is huge amount of headroom for us to grow. As a composite company looking at across all our products, we are at 1,100 crores, but there are lots of products that we have that individually are at maybe 10 crores or 20 crores. And I see the potential for each one of those smaller products, and in another call I refer to them as babies or teenagers, I see the potential for them to also be hundreds of crores. So I do think that I am very confident of the RateGain strategy on a go-forward basis. I am very confident of the simple pieces that we have a set of customers that we need to sell to and we need to gain their trust and sell them more and more products. That's the entire thesis on which we're building the company, and we have a number of products that can see a much larger attach rate with these customers. So I am confident about our strategy. I do think that we need to implement a better execution, and we need to continuously get better at execution. Whether it is on the product side, largely around, you know, how we onboard customers and making it quite frictionless and seamless, but also on, you know, the go-to-market motion, how we sell to enterprise customers versus mid-market, what are the different nuances to be taken care of from a go-to-market motion for each of the geographies. So there is calibration going on continuously. So just as an example, you know, we are now calibrating to help create a better sales pipeline by using a lot of AI tools, but also, you know, complementing that with what is called in SaaS an SDR function. So up until now, we didn't have an SDR function, but in the last sort of 2-3 months, we've invested quite heavily in building out an SDR function, and we now, you know, have got 20 people whose sole job would be, you know, to help create sales pipeline and opportunity. In addition to that, we've added, as I talked about earlier, a lot of, you know, I see a lot of opportunity in the APAC region. So we've added a bunch of salespeople in APAC region. So I do believe the strategy is right. The execution needs to continuously be calibrated. But even the basis of all the products that we have, I do think that we should see acceleration of our growth. Obviously, all of us would like to see the acceleration of that growth happen sooner than later. But I'm fairly confident that if we are putting our heads down, executing well, we can be well north of 20% on an organic growth basis alone.
That's great, Banu. Thank you so much for an elaborate answer. Now, second question is on acquisition, right? While we completely respect you being very, very, conscious about the price that you pay, and maybe some of the past acquisitions that we have made on price to sales multiple might be difficult, but in some of the past meetings that we have had, you had mentioned that some of your targets have still not been acquired. So from a seller's point of view, is there no urgency as such? Because I don't think so. They are, I mean, on its own, they are not that great businesses in terms of the return ratio profitability. Is there no urgency, and still most of the targets that are there in the market still available? And we have a very successful template in terms of Adara and other acquisition as well. So since we are not able to find a price, is there a midway or change in our strategy where we make some of the seller also, maybe you buy 70-80% and give that 20% kind of an upside to the seller? Is there a requirement for change in strategy which is there in the market? Because, those kind of multiples are difficult to, come back to, right, in terms of what you have acquired. So anything on your M&A, if you can help in the context of whatever I mentioned?
Yeah. So, I'm sure you've all read and heard 90% of M&A fail. And while at RateGain, we've been very, very successful, and not just us, you know, I've also referred to Constellation Software and other serial acquirers that do it quite well. And one common theme amongst good serial acquirers is just one. It's discipline. So, you know, I don't look at, is the seller eager to sell now because he's not been able to sell, and is there an urgency? What is the change in, you know, environment? To me, none of those factors are as important as having a template, having a discipline of chasing value creation through these acquisitions. What is the strategic value, and how does that translate into numbers? And I've talked about this. You know, we have our IRR targets, our payback period thresholds, and I'm very confident that, you know, we will continue to do acquisitions, you know, within those thresholds, because we haven't done one, we have done four, and we will continue to do them. It may also have happened that, you know, we haven't done anything now for 2 years, but there is a chance that we might end up doing one or two, you know, together, as long as, you know, our thresholds and, you know, internal metrics are being matched. So my point around this is, I think M&A is really a story of patience and discipline. Having done it successfully and looking at our pipeline, I feel confident that, you know, we'll be able to consolidate something soon. And it may also happen that, like I said, we may do more than one in quick succession as we find deals that fit our metrics.
Sure. And one last point, Banu, right? I mean, Last quarter, we heard some pricing pressure in distribution. This time, you are talking about some pricing pressure in DAS, right? Is there something more to read in these as to the value that you are offering? It's not being felt by the customer and hence they are asking for price cut. Is it more to it and do we hear pricing pressure more going forward or how should one think about it?
So, you know, as one of the other analysts asked about, you know, the overall travel has now normalized. So if you look at the big hotel companies and their revenues, these are all listed companies like Hyatt, IHG, Marriott, etc. So there is definitely pressure on them in terms of growth. And as a result of which, when things are growing really, really well, you know, there is a tendency to overlook. And as things tighten up, people usually tighten up their purse strings. So, you know, so as a result of that, we are seeing, you know, more pricing discussions, but fortunately, the value that we provide and the place that we are at, there are not too many other options that are available to these customers. So, you know, we are we're trying to hold tight and create more value. The other benefit that we have is, again, the benefit of adding more products, you know, so providing better value to the customer. So if you are negotiating on one product, you know, we have the ability to say, okay, I'll give you a 5% discount, but, you know, buy this other product. So it's creating those kinds of opportunities also. So, so it's not all doom and gloom. It's also creating some opportunities for us from a cross-selling perspective. And, you know, on the overall impact, I just like to be cautious and set the right expectations, but I don't see this to be an overarching concern. If you ask me what keeps me up at night, it is, as I talked about, the strategy is there. It's just honing in on our execution.
Great, Banu. That's it from my side. Thanks a lot and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, as a request, please limit your questions to 2 questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Rishi Jhunjhunwala from IIFL Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just one question, you know, mathematically, so I think, Banu, you mentioned 70% of the impact of the client loss has already come in 2Q, given that it was 4% of revenues, that's about 300 bits. So effectively, you know, in 1H, we have grown at almost 20%, including the impact in 2Q on a YOY basis also. At your guidance, we are implying about 10 to 11% kind of YOY growth in second half. And including the 400 bits also, we are talking about 15% growth. So there is still slowdown in our revenue growth, even if we don't take into account the impact of client loss. So one, is this 10 to 11% math seem correct? And two, you know, if you can just comment on, you know, the slowdown in you know, revenue growth X of this in the second half, given that some of the headwinds around elections and other things are behind us.
Yeah, so Rishi, it's, you know, it's a cautionary note given our contract wins for the first half has slowed down year on year. And although the pipeline has grown quite healthy, it's up almost 20%. So it's, you know, it's more of a cautionary note to investors. But like I said, you know, good things also emerge. Like we did the largest deal for Adara last week, which was about 2.4 million. So there are some very large deals that are there are awaiting signatures, and you know, if those happen, that should make us
look very, very good and also backfill this customer loss that we've had. The math that you were doing, I didn't quite follow, but maybe we can arrange a follow-up call. But net of net, I do see some slowdown in our growth on the back of lower contract wins, because the contract wins year over year are at 6%, which is quite low. And that will definitely impact. But I do see, I am hoping and optimistic about acceleration of our contract wins. As I said, there are a bunch of contracts up there, and we did have a positive surprise last week also. So if that, recovers now that elections is behind us. Because largely, if I see also, just to give you a geographic breakdown as well, we're doing extremely well in Europe, US, in APAC, LATAM. It's really the US that we have seen the impact. I mean, rest of the region, even from contract wins as well as revenue growth, it's been north of 20%.
Got it. And just, very quickly, so in case I missed earlier, if you can give the reason for that, client loss, and have we lost it to a, to another vendor, to in-house, or the business has gone wrong? And secondly, any updates on acquisition?
Yes. So, on your first question about losing the last customer, so basically it was a mid-sized chain in Germany, and it got bought over by one of the larger chains in the US. And we were selling a MarTech product to them, and the large chain was using an in-house, basically they run all their paid digital campaigns in-house. So as a result of which we lost this to an in-house team. But at the same time, again, I'm not factoring any of these potential positives, but very recently we heard from the chain that they're not seeing the same level of traction on those campaigns as they were seeing from us. So there is an opportunity that they might come back and start again with us in the new year. So let's see. We'll keep you informed. On your second question around M&A, so the pipeline is quite robust. We are in very active conversations with a couple of prospects. You can say we are doing our preliminary due diligence. On the valuation side, we're in sort of in the ballpark numbers. But now it's really about us doing our due diligence. And I don't want to commit to anything, because just very recently, also we were in a place where, so it's not always about valuations. We had agreed on the valuation with this other company, but we found things that we were not comfortable and willing to take on board as risk, as a result of which we had to move forward. So there are a couple of companies where, from a valuation perspective, pricing perspective, we are in the ballpark range. We just need to be comfortable with whatever discoveries we are doing and our ability to mitigate those issues.
Okay. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Manu had a couple of questions. One was regarding the total pipeline. So what I could see is last quarter we had reported in 555 crores, and this quarter we have mentioned in our PPT at 469 crores. So is this because of all the reasons which we have discussed thus far, that slowdown and the client loss and etc., or is it something else to it?
So go ahead, Tanmay.
Yeah, so obviously the pipeline, if you see year over year, has growth of more than 20%. But we do periodic cleansing of the pipelines, because
sometimes, you know, the pipeline doesn't reflect the true picture. So we have been doing those cleansing in last quarter. So now it's more accurate pipeline that can be depicted. Obviously, there are closures. We had a large quarter of closure of contract wins last quarter. So some of the pipeline has gone into closed one. But that, it's a combination of all of both of them.
Okay, got it. And in H1, we have already reached an highest ever margin, and we're at around 20.5. So in H2, do you expect with this 10-12% growth, what could be the margin trajectory, EBITDA margin trajectory for H2?
Look, at the start of the year, we had given a guidance of 200 basis point improvement over last year. So that guidance remains same.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhu Chandan Day from MC Pro. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I have two questions. These topics have been touched upon by many other participants as well. You had raised capital quite some time back and looking for an acquisition. Now that the travel industry has done exceedingly well, has stabilized fully, have you found the price very expensive, or is it out of your budget, which kind of limits the possibility of a deal happening in the near future?
Yeah, so as I had alluded earlier, there have been deals which have been in the ballpark valuations, but we were uncomfortable with some systematic risk that existed in the business that we were willing to take, and as a result of which we had to pass on them. In other cases, look, we've evaluated almost 10 companies and made 10 offers in the last 12 months. A couple of them we did go forward but had issues in due diligence. For the rest of them, we couldn't arrive on the right valuation. And as I mentioned earlier, I know a lot of investors are itching for us to do something, but I need to remind everyone that I'll repeat myself, you know, M&A is a game of patience and discipline, and I am not just optimistic, I am supremely confident that we will do the right deals at the right price to continue to create the success story that we have demonstrated in the past.
Okay, my second question is again on your guidance. There are three factors, please correct me if I am wrong. You always have mentioned that 4Q is a very strong quarter for you. Second, overall, with US elections behind, that's a big uncertainty. US, there's a kind of soft landing in the US. Most of the technology companies are alluding to tech demand looking to come back in a big way, and you have already delivered a 20% kind of a growth in the first half, and as you mentioned that the client loss, which is 4% of the revenue, 70% of that is already there in the numbers of Q2, which means that about 120 basis points is kind of a spillover into H2. So with your guidance, the growth in the second half, according to my calculation, is quite abnormally low at 10-11%. So how do I reconcile this?
Yeah, so, the way to think about a SaaS business and trying to bridge future numbers is really looking at the churn rates, which are very, very healthy at RateGain. So, our churn is, about 10%. And the other important thing that you need to look at is the new sales number. And then the third, it's a minor point, is looking at how quickly do we monetize our sales number or our order book. So, you know, what you see in H1 is a result of great shares with previously. But as you would notice, our sales numbers have not been that great in H1. It is only 6%, you know, so I do an H1, H1 comparison year over year. So it's really a resultant of lower sales rate. And as I mentioned, even if you ask me, if you worry, where did you not sell? It is really the US that where we are not selling. And we have taken a lot of steps also. So while we have a good pipeline, you know, some of it could be blamed on matters and issues that I talked about, lessons, etc. But I do also feel that there is improvement we need to do on our go-to-market motion. And that we talked about how we are doing improvising, calibrating our, you know, sales motion by investing into this SDR team. We've also ramped up on our marketing efforts. We're participating in more shows. We are, you know, we're also looking to revamp and hire more people in the sales team. So there is a lot of focus in building that enabling sales function to solve for the lower wins that we've had in the upcoming quarter. And like I said, there is a good pipeline. There is a, you know, there is a very large deal that we did last week with one of the biggest entertainment resorts in America. It was close to 2.4 million. And similarly, we are negotiating and have got verbal agreement on a multi-million dollar deal on our distribution side. But given how we haven't delivered signatures yet, it just makes me a little bit cautious and just want to set up the right expectations going forward.
Thank you. I hope you kind of meet your own guidance and firmly in the second half. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhanu Chopra for closing comments.
Yes, thank you everyone for giving us the opportunity and participating in the call. I feel very, very optimistic about the future. The building blocks at RateGain have never been stronger. I feel very strongly about the team that we have built, the innovations that we are doing on our products and the value we are bringing to our customers. And with that, we continuously work tirelessly every day to realize our vision of building into a billion-dollar revenue company. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of RateGain Travel Technologies, that concludes this conference call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.